Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of the Jack Benny Show from the 1948-1949 season. Tonight's episode, of course, starts our Easter episodes off, and we get a chance to hear two Easter songs, both with the Sportsmen backing them up, and one with Mary and Jack, which I always love to hear them sing songs together, of course. And then the other with Dennis Day and the Sportsmen. So it's going to be a fun episode. These Easter episodes, though they're similar in a lot of ways when we have the Easter episodes, I still look forward to them every year and I really enjoy them. I hope you do as well. I said that I would go ahead and talk about our poll. Our most recent poll was, where do you listen to the podcast? And I had the most other answers ever. In fact, it tied for the highest amount of answers at 29%. And the others, the one I like the best, I think, is, since all the others got one vote each, I'll just go ahead and read the one I like the best, is whilst, I like whilst, whilst exercising, and also while falling asleep, and sometimes during sleep. That person listened to the podcast. That's great. There's another one for when I get up in the morning. Another one for pottering or cooking in the kitchen. I think it's supposed to be puttering, but it's pottering. Maybe they're making pottery in the kitchen. Anyway, first thing in the morning again, early in the morning, doing chores around the house, at home while on my PC, as soon as I get up. So lots of morning ones. And then, for our most common answers, for the actual poll, where we're not doing other, it's, well, let's go for the least most popular, was mine. I'm apparently the only one who listens to the podcast in the shower, so I guess that's my own issue. And then shopping for groceries gets 4 votes, or 4% of the vote, I guess. And then with 7% of the vote, we have commuting to work. With 16% of the vote, at work. Shouldn't you be working at work and not listening to the podcast? But I guess you can do both. With 14% of the vote, 14% of the vote working in the yard, and with a whopping 29% of the vote before bed. So a lot of folks listen to the podcast before bed. That's very cool. For tonight's poll, we're going to have how many of my shows you listen to. I post anywhere from 14 to about 20 shows a week, somewhere in there. And so how many of the shows do you actually listen to each week? That'll be an interesting poll to have. And I'll put that up tonight. And so you'll have a link to it. Also, on Sunday night, if you go back there to that podcast, you can just scroll down to Sunday nights if you come to my webpage, of course, at BuckBennyOTR. It has a link to an episode I've never seen of the Jack Benny Show, which is the episode with Gracie Allen and George Burns, and from his, what is that, his third season, I guess, on television. And so they talk about it on the radio show from Sunday night, and then I link to that episode. Very cool that they're getting more and more episodes on YouTube that we can link to. Anyway, enjoy tonight's episode, and we'll see you next time.
The Jack Benny Program, presented by Lucky Strike.
Feeling low.
Feeling tense.
These 8 words are common sense.
Smoke a Lucky.
Defeat your level best.
Smoke a Lucky.
To feel your level best.
Yes, to feel your level best, smoke a Lucky, because Lucky's fine tobacco picks you up when you're low, calms you down when you're tense, puts you on the right level to feel and do your level best.
That's what fine tobacco can do for you. And remember,
LSMFT, LSMFT.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco.
So the next time you buy cigarettes, be sure to ask for the cigarette of fine tobacco Lucky Strike. For remember, Lucky's fine tobacco picks you up when you're low, calms you down when you're tense, puts you on the right level to feel and do your level best.
Yes, smoke a Lucky to feel your level best.
Lucky Strike program starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, the Sportsman Quartet, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Easter Sunday, and in cities all over the country, people are Easter parading. Right now in Beverly Hills, Jack is getting ready for his stroll down Wilshire Boulevard. At the moment, he's taking a shower, and Rochester is laying out his clothes.
Mr. Benny's been in that shower for a long time. It's funny the way the boss always puts on a bathing cap to keep his hair dry. Once it didn't work. He put on the bathing cap and then put his hair on top of it. He looked like a cantaloupe with sideburns. Well, I better get his clothes out. Say, here's a suit he wore home from New York, and I haven't sent it to the cleaners yet. I'll take it and... Uh-oh. What's this book that fell out of his pocket? Well, it's Mr. Benny's diary. I wonder if I should read it. No, I better not. He sure got mad the last time I read it. Anyway, if Mr. Benny wanted me to know what he did in New York, he'd tell me. But he's been home over a week and he ain't told me, so here goes. Here's the first entry.
April 4th. Dear Diary, the flight to New York was exciting. Traveling by airplane is very pleasant, except they give the passengers free food, magazines, and chewing gum. I couldn't sell a darn thing.
I wonder what he did with that gallon of coffee and four dozen sandwiches he took with him.
I arrived in New York this morning, cheerful but bloated.
I guess he didn't eat all the sandwiches. The next entry is written in peanut butter.
April 5th. Dear Diary, this morning I was walking down Broadway and ran into Fred Allen, and I must say that Fred looks wonderful. He had all the wrinkles taken out of his face, and luckily they didn't have to use surgery. Fred's face has so much loose skin, they just pulled his ears back and tied them in a bow. With his hat off, he looked like an Easter bunny.
Mr. Benny's diary sure is dull. 2 days in New York, and he ain't been to Harlem yet.
April 6th. Dear Diary, last night I attended a dinner party at the home of Mr. William Paley. He's the head of CBS. I sat on the right of his lovely wife, Barbara. Mrs. Paley is certainly a charming woman. I wonder what network he got her from. April 7th. Talk to my sponsor today.
Well, now it's getting interesting.
April 8th. Talk to my sponsor today. April 9th. Talk to my sponsor today. April 10th. Talk to my sponsor today. April 11th. Talk to my lawyer today. April 12th. My lawyer talked to my sponsor today. April 13th, my lawyer will be my summer replacement. April 14th, started for home on the Santa Fe Super Chief. The Super Chief is a wonderful train, but I think I enjoyed the plane trip more. The hostess had prettier legs than the conductor.
I'll be darned. No mention of Harlem at all. If he didn't go to Harlem, why'd he bother?
Rochester.
Uh-oh, here he comes. I better hide the diary.
Rochester, what are you doing?
I was looking through the suit to see if it needed to be sent to the cleaners.
Oh, well, while I finish dressing, look through the closet, see if there's anything else that needs cleaning.
Yes, sir. What about this gray suit, boss?
I don't know. How does it look to you?
Well, it's got a gravy stain on the sleeve, salad dressing on the pants, butter on the cuff, coffee on the lapel, and meat sauce all over the vest.
It has?
Yeah, shall I send it to the cleaner or put it in the refrigerator?
Send it to the cleaner. But first, Rochester, go through the pockets and make sure I didn't leave any money in it.
Oh, boss, calm down.
Never mind, just do it. Well, I'm all dressed, Rochester. How do I look?
Fine, but you better put your glasses on.
Oh, I'm not going to wear my glasses. They make me look old.
But you don't see too well without them.
Rochester, I only need my glasses for reading. Now, let's see. I think I'll take a top coat with me in case I... I'll get it. Oh, hello, Phil.
I'm Mary.
Oh, happy Easter, Mary. Well, I'm ready to go walking if you are.
I'm ready, Jack. But aren't you going to say anything about my new dress?
Let's see. Say, it's very pretty. But, Mary, isn't it kind of daring?
Well, no, this is the latest style. It's called a plunging neckline.
Well, you better grab it fast, sister. It's getting away from you.
Oh, don't be silly, Jack. Plunging necklines are the latest style. All the girls will be wearing them today.
They will?
Yes.
Oh, Rochester, bring me my glasses. Thanks. Well, come on, Mary. Let's go to the boulevard and stroll in the Easter parade. Gee, there are a lot of people on Wilshire Boulevard, aren't there, Mary?
Yeah, and everybody's dressed so nice.
Well, so are you. Gee, that new hat you're wearing is really cute. Where'd you get it?
The May Company. They give me all my clothes.
The May Company gives you all your clothes? Gee, that's funny. You've been working for me for the past 15 years.
I know. They send me food, too.
Oh, well, that's nice of them.
Say, Jack.
What?
How far do you think we ought to walk?
Oh, I don't know. Probably as far as La Brea. And then we'll...
Jack, look who's coming this way. Isn't that one of the boys in your Beavers Club?
Oh, yes. Hello, Joey.
Hello, Mr. Benny. Hello, Miss Livingston.
Hello, Joey. Say, that's a mighty cute rabbit you have there.
Yeah, it's my Easter bunny. I'm taking him over to Mr. Benny's house to feed him.
To my house to feed him? Why?
My father says you got more lettuce than anyone in Beverly Hills.
Did you just get this rabbit, Joey?
Oh, no. I got him last Easter. In fact, I had two of them.
Come on, Mary, let's go.
In a minute, Jack. What happened to your other rabbit, Joey?
I don't know. He just disappeared around Christmas time.
Mary, let's go.
Joey, exactly when did your other rabbit disappear?
It was December 23rd.
Well, thanks for telling me. Goodbye, Joey.
Goodbye, Miss Livingston. Goodbye, Mr. Benny.
Goodbye, goodbye. You know, Mary...
Oh, quiet. You and your mink Christmas presents.
That was just a coincidence. I happened to get a mink with pink eyes, that's all. You know, Mary... But strolling along the boulevard today reminds me of that picture we saw with Fred Astaire and Judy Garland.
You mean Easter Parade?
Yeah, that's the one. Remember at the start of the picture when Fred Astaire was walking along Fifth Avenue singing that song and the people all answered him? How did that song go again? Oh, yes, I remember it now. Never saw such a lovely day. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
It's such fun just to nod and say, Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
My, oh me, there's so much to see as you stroll the avenue. And you greet all the friends you meet.
Happy Easter to you.
Isn't that nice, Mary? They all answered us just like in the picture. Gee, I'll never forget how... Hey, Mary. Hey, Mary, look. Look.
Huh?
Look, stepping up on the curb. Get a load of those legs.
Oh, who is it?
The conductor on the Super Cheese. Now, come on, Mary. We got to keep up with the crowd, you know. I want to walk all the way down to La Brea.
Say, Jack, look. There's Phil Harris standing on the corner.
Oh, yes.
Hello, Phil.
Hiya, Livy, you little Easter bunny. Who's that egg you got with you?
Donner, I forgot to take off my bathing cap. Say, Phil, Mary and I are strolling down Wilshire. Want to join us?
No, no, Jackson. The Chamber of Commerce wants me to stand here till another bus comes by.
Another bus?
Yeah, I'm the grand finale of the 95-cent tour.
What?
Them out-of-towners go nuts.
Oh, brother.
Phil, aren't you a little conceited?
Nah, conceit is when you think you got it and you ain't.
And of course, Phil, you've got it.
$16 silver in a box of Snickers to that gray-haired gentleman with a button shoe.
Mary, you talk to him. I can't.
Look, Phil, Jack and I are going for a walk. Do you want to join us or not?
Oh, I'd love to, Liv, but when I finish here, I got to go home and take my uncle to the train.
I didn't know you had an uncle here.
Yeah, he arrived Tuesday on business. Came out here for the eclipse.
Oh, is he an astronomer?
No, a pickpocket. Oh, Jackson, when will you learn to still those quivering lips?
Come on, Mary, let's go.
All right. So long, Phil.
So long, Livy, you dove. See you later.
Come on, Mary.
Hey, Jackson.
What?
Don't feel bad. You got the bluest eyes on Wilshire Boulevard.
I know. So long, Phil. Come on, Mary. You know, Mary, Phil kids a lot, but underneath it all, he's really a nice guy.
Oh, stop fluttering your eyelashes.
Jealous. Now, come on, dollface. We got a long way to walk yet. Walking with you side by side, happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Fills my chest with so much pride, happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
My, oh, me, there's so much to see as you stroll the avenue.
And you greet all the friends you meet.
Happy Easter to you.
Dum bum 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 bum.
Jack, get up. You're not as young as Fred Astaire.
I know, he's 38. Now, come on, Mary. Gosh, what perfect weather. Spring, the skies are clear, the flowers are blooming. The sun is shining. Well, look who's here.
Bonjour, Monsieur Benny.
Well, Professor LeBlanc, what a surprise running into you.
Hello, Professor.
Bonjour, Mademoiselle.
Professor, you certainly look nice today. Is that a new Easter suit you're wearing?
Mademoiselle, I am a poor violin teacher. I cannot afford to buy new suits.
Well, what do you do with the money I pay you for my violin lessons?
I buy sleeping pills.
Oh, are they any good?
No. After a few days, I wake up.
Well, it was nice seeing you, Professor. And don't forget, you're giving me a violin lesson next week.
I will not forget. I will tie a string around my finger.
Good, good.
Better I should tie a rope around my neck.
What?
Goodbye, Monsieur Benny.
Goodbye. Say, Mary, I can't understand why he hates to give me violin lessons.
Well, I can't understand it either. You played beautifully.
Well, I... Huh? Gee, Mary, that was sweet. What made you say that?
Oh, I don't know. Just an impulse. Yesterday, I kicked a cop in the pants.
Oh, well, sometimes you have to let yourself go, you know. Anyway, Mary, we're certainly running into a lot of people we know, aren't we?
Yeah.
Dum da dum bum ba bum ba bum. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Yum ba bum bum. You doll face. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
My, oh, me, there's so much to see as you stroll the avenue. And you greet all the friends you meet. Happy Easter to you.
Say, Geitchens, what is it, Mabel? Gertrude, I feel so elegant walking in the Easter parade. How do you feel?
My feet are killing me. But it's my own fault for buying such small shoes.
Well, what size did you get?
9.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
What's the matter?
Getting your footing to a size 9 shoe is like docking the Queen Mary in a Dixie cup.
Well, look who's talking. Get a load of your shoes.
They're not so big.
They're not. Last year when we went on our vacation, every hotel we stopped at pasted labels on them.
Well, it's a natural mistake because my shoes are genuine cowhides.
Cowhide?
Yeah.
From the way your toes stick out, it looks like milking time.
Gertrude, the next time you talk to me like that,
hey, Mabel, look. Here comes Jack Benny.
Oh, yeah. And look who's with him, Mary Livingston. She didn't have to put on airs with me. I remember when she and I worked at the May Company.
Did you used to run into her?
Very seldom. I was a night watchman.
Look, Mabel, they're coming toward us.
Ba-bum, bum, ba-bum, ba-bum. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Ba-bum, bum, ba-bum, ba-bum. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. My, oh, me, there's so much to see as you stroll the avenue.
Meet all the friends you meet.
Happy Easter to you.
Well, Don Wilson.
Well, hello, Barry. Oh, hello, Jack. I haven't seen you since you got back from New York. How was your trip?
Oh, wonderful, Don, and you'll be happy to know how popular you are. Everybody I ran into was asking about you.
Oh, really, Jack? Well, what'd they want to know?
Well, they want to know different things like what you eat for breakfast, what you eat for lunch, what you eat for dinner, what you have for dessert, what you have after dessert, what you eat between meals, what you eat before going to bed at night, all those different things.
Well, that's nice, Jack, but didn't they want to know anything about me on your program?
Let's see. Yes, they did, Don. They thought that my last couple of programs weren't quite as funny as usual. They want to know if you ate one of my writers.
Oh, Jack, I know you're kidding, but I wish you'd stop with that talk. It gives everybody the impression I'm fat.
All right, Don, I'll stop joking about your size.
Say, Don, would you like to walk down Wilshire Boulevard with us?
Oh, I'd love to, Murray, but I'm on the other side of the street.
Oh, yes. Lift your stomach, Don. Here comes a bus. Well, anyway, I'll see you later. Come on, Mary. Say, Mary, have you got a cigarette?
Oh, sure, Jack. I have some right here in my... Oh, gee, I forgot to put them in this purse.
Well, there's a drugstore right here on the corner. I'll step in and get some. A feeling low, a feeling tense. These 8 words to make a common sense. Smoke a lucky. Simone. Oh, mister. Mister.
Yeah.
Mister, I'd like to buy some...
Magazines?
No.
Sunglasses?
No. I'd like to buy some...
Lifesavers?
No, but as long as you're guessing and want to play games, I'll give you a hint. Now, what do you do to feel your level best?
I loosen my girdle. What do you do?
Well, if you must know, I smoke a Lucky.
Well, why didn't you say so? You want a package of Lucky Strike.
That's exactly what I want.
Here you are.
Thank you. Here's your money. Goodbye.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. Bum, 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 bum.
Jack, did you get your cigarettes?
Yes. Come on, Mary, let's keep on walking.
Never saw such a lovely day. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
It's such fun just to nod and say Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
My, oh, me, there's so much to see as you stroll the avenue.
And you greet all the friends you meet.
Happy Easter to you.
Well, Mr. Pitcher. It's nice running into you today.
Oh, Thank you, Mr. Benny. And how are you, Miss Livingston?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you.
Mr. Kitzel, you certainly look nice in those striped pants, cutaway coat, and top hat.
Mm-hmm.
It's just... Yes, sir, it's just right for Easter.
Oh, thank you. But I'm also wearing it for sentimental reasons. This is the suit in what I got married.
Really?
Yeah, I'll never forget the ceremony. It was beautiful. When the preacher asked for the ring, my wife handed it to him, and then...
Wait a minute. How come your wife had the ring?
We weren't even married, and she went through my pockets already.
Oh, I see. Well, Mr. Kitzel, it was a pleasure running into you on Easter, but we've got to be moving along.
Well, I got to run along, too. This afternoon, I'm having an egg roll.
An egg roll on your front lawn?
No, in a Chinese restaurant.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mr. Kitzel.
Do you know, Mary, it's always nice running into Mr. Kitzel. I don't know, he always seems so cheerful.
Hey, Bud. Bud.
Huh?
Come here a minute.
Me?
Yeah.
Excuse me, Mary. Yes?
What are you doing?
Well, we're just strolling along in the Easter parade.
How far are you going?
To La Brea.
That's fine.
What?
You said you were going to La Brea, and I said that's fine.
But wait a minute. Aren't you going to try to talk me out of it?
Not me. This is my day off.
Oh. Oh.
Well, happy Easter.
Same to you. Same to you. Well, come on, Mary.
What happened?
Nothing. It's all right. We can go to La Brea. Come on.
Never saw such a lovely day. Happy Easter. It's such fun just to nod and say Happy Easter.
And you greet all the friends you meet.
Happy Easter to you.
Dana!
Hello, Dana.
Hello, Mary.
Well, Dennis, gee, it's good to see you. Did you have a nice Easter?
Oh, sure. I colored Easter eggs all morning, and then I hid them.
Uh-huh.
And then I told my mother to go look for them.
Oh. That must have been fun.
No, it was a mess. The eggs splattered all over the walls, the ceiling, and my mother's new dress.
But, Dennis, where'd you hide the eggs?
In the Mixmaster.
In the Mixmaster?
Yeah, it was awful.
But, Dennis, colored eggs shouldn't splatter. How long did you boil them?
Oh, boil them.
Mary, you take them, will you?
Dennis, Jack and I are walking down as far as La Brea. Would you like to join us?
Oh, sure, I'm not stuck up.
Well, that's nice of you. That's sweet of you, kid. Come on, kid.
Could you walk a little faster, Mr. Benny? I gotta get home and take my uncle to the train.
Sure, we can. Your uncle?
Yeah, he's here on business. He came Tuesday for the eclipse.
Dennis, is he...
Mary, let me take this one. What did you say your uncle came here for, Dennis?
He came here for the eclipse.
He came for the eclipse, eh? I know, Dennis, he's a pickpocket.
No, he's a photographer and he hasn't got a dark room.
Jack.
What?
Happy Easter.
All right. Let's walk on.
Hey, Dennis, while we're walking along, why don't you sing something?
Well, gee, do you think it'd be all right right here on the street?
Well, sure. Everybody feels good today. They're all singing.
Yeah, they all want you to
okay.
sing, too.
In your Easter bonnet, with all the frills upon it, you'll be the...
this lady in the stuffer. I'll be all in clover, and when they look you over, I'll be the proudest fellow in the Easter parade on the Avenue, Fifth Avenue. The photographers will snap us, and you'll find that you're in the rotogravure. Oh, I could write a sonnet about your Easter bonnet and of the girl I'm taking to the Easter parade
on the Avenue, Fifth Avenue. The photographers will snap us,
and you'll find that you're in the rotogravure. Oh, I could write a sonnet about your Easter bonnet and of the girl I'm taking to the Easter.
Feeling low,
feeling tense.
These eight words are common sense.
Smoke a lucky
to be your level best.
Smoke a lucky
to be your level best.
You see, Lucky's Fine Tobacco picks you up when you're low, calms you down when you're tense, puts you on the right level to feel and do your level best. That's why it's so important for you to select and smoke the cigarette of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike. For as every smoker knows, LSMFT, LSMFT, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. It's not surprising that Luckies are the overwhelming choice of the tobacco experts, men who can see the makers of Lucky Strike consistently select and buy that fine, that light, that naturally mild tobacco. Yes, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. And this fine Lucky Strike tobacco picks you up when you're low, calms you down when you're tense, put you on the right level, the lucky level, where you feel your best and do your best. So the next time you buy cigarettes, ask for a carton of Lucky Strike.
Smoke a lucky
to be your level best.
Smoke a lucky
to be your level best.
Happy Easter, everybody.
Don't forget to hear Dennis Day and A Day in the Life of Dennis Day. Stay tuned for the Amos and Andy Show, which follows immediately. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Good health to all from Rexall. Yes, it's Sunday, time for the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, presented by the makers of Rexall drug products and 10,000 independent Rexall family druggists.
Good evening. We Rexall family druggists have some good news for you this evening. Next Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we bring you our famous 1 cent sale. If you don't already know what that can mean to your family budget, here's how it works. During those 4 days, at every store with the orange and blue Rexall sign on the windows, you can get 2 quality guaranteed Rexall products for the price of 1, plus 1 cent. That's right, twice as much for only a penny more. And what's more, these savings apply to nearly 300 items. From antiseptics to toothpaste, cold cream to cough syrup, aspirin to shampoos. And remember, these are Rexall products, and that means they're as fine and dependable as science can make them. So drop in on your Rexall druggist next Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. Let him help you save with safety. Everyone knows you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
Good health to all from Rexall. And now your Rexall Family Druggist brings you the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, Walter Scharf and his music, yours truly, Bill Foreman, and starring Alice Faye and Phil Harris. The Harris family has just returned home from church. They attended afternoon Easter services, and Alice seems a little perturbed about the children's behavior.
I'm surprised at the way you children acted in church. Phyllis, you should know better than to whisper to your sister during the sermon.
I'm sorry, Mommy.
And as for you, you squirmed and fidgeted in your seat, and worst of all, why did you take your shoes off?
My little tootsies were killing me.
I was talking to Alice. Girls, go change your clothes for dinner. Willie, will you stay and have dinner with us?
Oh, well, I'd like to, Alice, but I have a date.
Oh, I'm sorry you can't stay, Willie. You see, I've invited the Creightons for dinner, and I know you enjoy their company.
Oh, yes, the Creightons are very interesting. Don't you think so, Philip?
Oh, to be sure. Just think, we're having the Creightons for dinner. What a thrill, what a pleasure, what an honor. What's a Creighton?
Mrs. Creighton is the children's school principal. I met her at church and invited her and her husband for dinner.
The school principal? Oh, goody. Oh, we're in for a racy evening.
Don't be sarcastic. Well, I told him to come over early, so I'd better get things ready.
Yeah, you go oil the magic lantern, and I'll dust off the stereopticon slides. Alice, with all the swell teachers they got at the school, why do you have to invite this Creighton character and her husband?
Now, Phil, that's no way to talk. They're very nice people.
Well, maybe so. But I ain't got nothing in common with Mr. Creighton. He went to Harvard, and I'm a Yale man. Why, we're natural-born enemies. Our schools have been rivals forever.
All right, Bula Bula. Philip, you went to Yale?
Well, naturally, Willie. He's a whiffin'-poof. Haven't you ever heard his famous school song? Under the table down at Maury's, that's the place where Filsy dwelled. At the dear old Temple Bar he loved.
Thank you, Rudy Valley. Oh, you vagabond mother.
Well, if you'll excuse me, I'd better get the roast started.
Hey, Alice, you better make something else instead of roast.
Why?
It don't agree with Frankie.
Frankie's coming to dinner? Who invited him?
He did.
Now, look, Phil, I'm not going to have Frankie around while the Creightons are here. He's liable to insult them, and besides, his table manners are atrocious.
They are not. He's very polite. He always tips his hat when a lady comes to the table.
Well, it's important that this dinner go off smoothly, so you'll have to tell Frankie we can't have him. Tell him we haven't got enough food.
Fine thing. On account of a couple of old squares, I can't have my pal eat with us.
Excuse me, Philip. Before I leave, I'll go see if I can help Alice prepare dinner.
Oh, you'll be a great help, Prudence. What can you do?
I can whip the potatoes.
Well, I doubt it, Muscles, but give it a try. They fight back, call me, will you? Get that left hand out. Keep your head down, bud. I can whip the potato. Comes on like Thor, don't he? Can't understand it. I've already invited Frankie to dinner. Now, how am I... Uh-oh, that must be him now. Now, how am I going to tell Remley's not wanted?
Hiya, Curly. Happy Easter. And what are we having for dinner?
I don't know about you, but I'm having roast beef. You see, Frankie, we can't... Well, that is... Well, we don't...
What are you trying to tell me?
Well, to put it blunt, Alice invited somebody else over to dinner. She doesn't have enough food for you, she doesn't want you, and you can't have dinner here.
Stop hinting and get to the point.
Ha ha ha! you're not going to eat with us.
Well, if you don't want me, I'll just take these expensive presents I bought for you good people and go home.
Well, go ahead, because you... Wait a minute. Presents?
Mm-hmm.
You mean those packages in your arms are for us?
Well, yeah. You were nice enough to invite me to dinner, so I bought something for you, Alice, and the kids. I got a box of my special-made cigars, an orchid, and a real-live Easter bunny.
Oh, Frankie. You bought a real-live bunny just for me?
Yeah, the bunny's for you. Now, if you'll call the kids in, I'll give them their cigars. The bunny ain't for you. It's for the kids.
Oh, well, I like the other present just as much. Go ahead, Frankie. Pin the orchid on me.
Curly, the cigars are for you. They're the special kind that I have made for myself. You trying to ignore them?
You said it. Them things taste like wet soup greens wrapped in a ripe banana skin.
You mean you don't like them?
I'd rather smoke the orchid. Or the bunny. I wouldn't touch one of them things if you'd
Daddy, may we color some Easter eggs? You said we could, and... Oh, hello, Uncle Frankie.
Happy Easter, kids. I got something for you. Wait till I take the cover off this box.
I wonder what it is, Phyllis.
There you are. How do you like it?
Gee, an Easter bunny. Oh, thank you.
A real live one, too. Isn't he cute, Alice?
Yeah, he looks just like Uncle Frankie.
He don't look like me. Does he, Phyllis?
Of course not. She's just saying that because you both have pink eyes.
How did your eyes get so pink, Uncle Frankie?
From drinking carrot juice. Now, why don't you girls run along and play, huh?
Phil, who is that at the door? What's the... Oh, Frankie.
Fine reception. She greets me like I was radioactive or something.
Hey, honey, Frankie brought Easter presents for all of us. He brought the kids a bunny, and he got something for you and something for me. Here's yours.
Oh, just what I wanted. I haven't had a good cigar in years.
You still ain't got a good cigar.
Look, Curly, will you stop trying to palm those cigars off on everybody? Here, Alice, this orchid is for you.
Oh, it's lovely. Frankie, it was awfully sweet of you to bring presents for all of us, and I'd like to reciprocate. Won't you have dinner with us?
Oh, gee, Alice. This is such an unexpected invitation. I don't know what to say, except couldn't I have lobster instead of roast beef?
Well, I'm sorry, but I've already put the roast in the oven. And another thing, Frankie. As long as you're staying, I'm going to have to ask you to be careful how you act. You see, we're having company for dinner.
Oh, good. We'll have a lot of fun. I love gay dinner parties. Scintillating conversations, sparkling dialogue. Who's coming?
Two characters from the Wax Museum. We're having Mr. and Mrs. Creighton. She's the school principal.
Give me back my presents. I'm getting out of here.
Now, wait.
Frankie, they're very nice people. They're a little formal and straight-laced, but it won't hurt you fellas to meet people like that.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a great evening. I won't know what to talk to her about, and he's so henpecked he don't dare open his mouth unless she gives him permission.
Now, look, fellas, do me a favor and act nice when the Creightons get here. And above all, she's a school principal, so watch your grammar.
Philip, do you think that is he and she now?
Yes, that might be whom it are.
Are?
Yeah, when two people come, you use the plural. Oh.
Look, you two better not do any talking. Let the Creightons lead the conversation. Now be quiet while I let them in.
Leave them in.
How do you do, Mrs. Harris?
Hello, Mrs. Creighton, Mr. Creighton. It's a pleasure to have you. Won't you come in?
Thank you. Come along, Henry.
You know my husband?
Oh, hello.
And this is Mr. Remley.
Hi.
How do you do? And this is my husband. Henry, you may say hello.
Thank you, Cora. Hello, folks.
Oh, Remley, did you hear that kid ad-lib? Notice the way he slipped that folks in? Oh, he just dubbed.
Well, dinner won't be ready for about an hour. In the meantime, shall we all go in the living room? And, oh, Frankie, will you escort Mrs. Creighton?
Delighted. Madame, may I offer my arm?
Oh, how gallant. Mr. Remley, where did you learn to bow so gracefully?
Oh, one acquires a lot of poise from bending over pool tables.
Pool tables? Well,
here we are. Shall we all be seated? Well, we're all seated.
Yeah. Sitting's down very nice. Sometimes I like it better than standing up. It's kind of a change. Cribbage, anyone? Wasn't it lucky that Easter fell on a Sunday this year? Anybody care for a cigar? Anybody care for a drink? I just want to make sure everybody was still alive.
Well, dinner should be ready soon, I hope. Isn't there something we can do to amuse ourselves in the meantime?
Anybody care to wrestle? How about you, Mrs. Harris?
Henry!
Well, I take judo lessons, and I got to practice with somebody, and I thought it might be fun with her.
Do you know judo, Creighton?
Oh, yes. You see, I'm rather short in stature.
I'll explain, Henry.
Yes, poodles.
When we were married, I insisted that Henry study judo so he could protect me against all those mashers who are always accosting beautiful women. He's been a judo expert for 20 years now.
And I've never had any occasion to use it.
Do you take judo, too, Mrs. Creighton?
Mr. Harris, my time is completely absorbed by my educational duties.
Oh, I should think it would be, Mrs. Creighton. Your work is very important, and we parents appreciate the training you school teachers give our children.
We do our best. However, we must have cooperation from the parents. Sometimes the example set at home by certain fathers counteracts our efforts.
Yeah, it's a shame the way some kids don't get no help from their old man. I'm always learning my daughter's good grammar.
You are?
You said it. I ain't gonna have no kids of mine talking no lousy English.
Mr. Harris, I realize everybody hasn't had an education, but I think it the duty of every parent to acquire some knowledge. I'd suggest you read a few reference books.
Like what?
Well, have you ever read the Encyclopedia Britannica?
No, I'm waiting till they make the picture. That Lawrence Oliver ought to be great in that picture.
Mr. Harris, has it ever occurred to you why your children aren't learning the way they should?
Something wrong with the school system, huh?
There's nothing wrong with the school system. Mr. Remley, what do you think of our present scholastic curriculum? Mr. Remley?
Frankie!
What? Whose deal is it?
Stanley, I asked you a question.
Oh.
What do you think of the present scholastic curriculum?
That's all right, but it'll never replace the pari-mutuel.
We were discussing education.
Oh, education. Wonderful thing. No school should be without it. It's great for the kids, too. Keeps them off the streets.
I do wish there was someone here who had an education that I could talk to. Mrs. Harris, of course you went to college.
Well, I...
Oh, college is so important, don't you think?
Well, I...
We never forget our college days, do we? I went to USC, class of 29. And you?
NTG, chorus of 34.
Chorus? NTG? Mrs. Harris, you mean you were a chorus girl?
Oh, boy, I'd love to have seen it.
Henry! Just what did you do in the chorus, Mrs. Harris?
Well, I danced a little and I sang a little.
You're darn right, and she was great, too. In fact, she still is. Go on, honey. Sing something and show 'em.
But, Phil, I don't think Mrs. Creighton wants to hear me.
Of course she does. Look at her sitting there. She's all ears.
Well, I'll pin them back so they don't flap while you sing.
Go ahead, Alice.
Lost my partner, what'll I do? Lost my partner, what'll I do? Lost my partner, what'll I do? Skip to Maloo, my darling.
Lulu, skip to Maloo. Lulu, skip to Maloo. Lulu, skip to Maloo. Skip to Maloo, my darling.
Prettier than you, I'll get another one prettier than you. I'll get another one prettier than you. Skip to Maloo, my darling.
Lulu, skip to Maloo. Lulu, skip to Maloo. Lulu, skip to Maloo. Skip to Maloo, my darling.
Can't get a red bird, a blue bird'll do. Can't get a red bird, a blue bird'll do. Can't get a red bird, a blue bird'll do. Skip to Maloo, my darling.
Lulu, skip to Maloo. Lulu, skip to Maloo. Lulu, skip to Maloo. Skip to Maloo, my darling.
Little red wagon painted blue.
Skip to Maloo, my darling.
Fly in the sugar bowl, shoe fly shoe.
Skip to Maloo, my darling.
Gone again, what'll I do?
Flies in the sugar bowl, shoe fly shoe.
Cows in the cornfields, two by two.
Flies in the buttermilk, shoe fly shoe. One old boot and a rundown shoe. Lost my partner.
Oh, what'll I do?
Lost my partner.
What'll I do?
Lost my partner.
What'll I do?
Skip to Maloo, my darling. Lulu, skip to Maloo. Lulu, skip to Maloo. Lulu, skip to Maloo. Skip to Maloo, my darling.
How'd you like that, Mrs. Creighton? That kid's got talent, ain't she?
Yes. Mrs. Harris, I don't wish to be rude, but do you think dinner will be ready soon?
Well, I'm afraid it won't be ready for another hour, so, you see, I'm having a roast, and by the way, I hope you like roast beef.
I don't mind it, but no seasoning, please. I can't stand seasoning of any sort. It makes me deathly ill.
Oh, it does, huh? Well, if you'll excuse me, I got to go in and see how the roast is doing.
No, Phil, you stay here. I'll go.
No, Alice, you enjoy yourself. I'm going in and see how the roast is doing. Excuse me,
please. No, wait a minute, Curly. I'll go with you. Excuse me.
Wait for me. Excuse me.
Henry, sit down.
Yes, dear. One of these days, I'm going to stand up on a chair and punch her right in the nose.
Henry, stop muttering.
We'll be right back. Come on, Remley.
Yeah, all right. Oh, brother. There ought to be a law against such women. Curly, if she's going to be here for dinner, I'm not staying.
Remley, I don't think she's going to stay for dinner.
What do you mean?
Well, you heard her say she can't stand seasoning in her food.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we were to go in the kitchen and kind of rub that roast down a little...
Oh, Curly, you're cute.
Yeah.
Let's go, Maestro.
Come on.
How is the roast doing, Chef?
It is beginning to acquire a little flavor.
Uh-huh. Yes. All is needed was a subtle touch of seasoning. Just a touch.
Yes. What have you got in so far?
A pinch of salt, a dash of pepper, 2 cans of paprika, 3 bottles of Tabasco sauce, 4 strings of garlic, and a rubber glove. And now for the finishing touch, we glaze the roast with a delicate blend of vinegar, lemon juice, and turpentine.
Yum, yum. And just to make sure, we'll add a cup of this.
Claret?
No, Clorox.
Clorox?
Just enough to fade them a little.
Oh, well, look, Remley, we don't need it. It's hot enough now, at least I hope it is.
Well, there's only one way to find out. Taste it, Curly.
Taste it? I got a better idea. Let's take it to Bikini and test it. Hey, this roast is ready, Remley. Oh, this is a pretty thing. Yeah, you taste it.
It's your roast. You taste it. You better do it fast. It's starting to burn its way through the table.
Hey, wait a minute. I got it. They make tests on rabbits. Let's try this stuff on that bunny you brought the kids.
Curly, please. I ain't going to let you try it out on the kid's bunny. Might kill him.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Hmm. Hey, maybe if we could get a hold of another bunny.
Hey,
and...
Mr. Harris.
Well, if it ain't old Brer Rabbit of Bruges. Well,
hop along Julius himself.
Yeah.
What are you guys doing?
Oh, nothing, kid. Nothing. We're just here in the kitchen, just getting ready to take a slice of Alice's delicious roast beef. Hey, do you want to see something good, kid? Oh, wait till I cut a slice off. There, ain't that a thing of beauty?
That looks delicious, doesn't it?
Yeah, it looks nice and juicy and tender.
I'm gonna have a piece.
So am I.
I ain't.
What do you mean you ain't?
I hate roast beef.
But Julius, it's healthy for you. I always eat it. I got to look the way I do today from just eating roast beef.
That's a recommendation?
Oh, look, kid, you ought to try this. Miss Fay made it, and believe me, when it's seasoned this way, it doesn't taste like roast beef.
What does it taste like?
That's what we're trying to find out.
Well, if it don't taste like roast beef, I might try it. Cut me a piece.
Okay, but you can't have much. Just one big fat slice. Here you are.
Thanks.
Oh, Remley, I can't watch this. I gotta cover my eyes.
Yeah. We better hold our ears, too. Any second now.
Hey, you guys are right. This stuff is good.
He likes it. This kid must be keg-lined.
You sure you like it, Julius?
Yeah, it's got a taste that makes you...
Uh-oh. There he goes. There he goes, Remy.
Yeah.
Watch him whirl.
Help!
There he goes.
Hey, look. Look at the way the scalp's trying to leave his head.
Yeah, he's right.
Water, fighting up. Put me out, somebody.
Hey, Rumley, I don't think we made it hot enough. There ain't no flames. He's rolling now.
Now they're starting to glow a little.
Yeah.
I better get the fire extinguisher and put them out.
No, it's chilly in the kitchen. Let him heat it up a little.
Gee, Marley, least we can do is bank him for the night.
Oh, he's spinning out.
What are you trying to do? Make a clinker out of me? I'm getting out of here. What's going on in here? Julius, what happened? I don't know what happened, but don't touch that roast beef. It's a booby trap.
What happened to the poor boy?
I don't know. He took one bite of Alice's roast beef and went out like a Roman candle. I'm afraid that meat is tainted, Alice.
Tainted?
Yeah. Now, shall we all sit down to dinner?
No, thank you. I just remembered a previous engagement. Goodbye, Mrs. Harris. Come along, Henry.
Oh, but Mrs. Creighton, please don't leave. I had no idea. Mrs. Creighton.
She is leaving. What a pity.
Oh, fellas, I don't know what you did,
but... Mrs. Harris, I came back to talk to you.
Yes, Mr. Creighton.
Do you realize if my wife had eaten that tainted meat, something drastic might have happened to her? I might even have lost the dear girl.
I'm sorry, Mr. Creighton.
Well, never mind the excuses. There's just one thing I want to know.
What?
Where can I buy meat like that?
Alice and Phil will be back in just a moment. Right now, your Rexall Family Druggist has a drop-in visitor.
I've heard my neighbors talking about something called a one-cent sale you're going to have. What is it?
Why, it's a sale that Rexall Druggist originated, ma'am, and it's become a regular tradition. Here's how it works. Next Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we give you the opportunity to buy two of Rexall's famous guaranteed products for the price of one plus a penny.
In other words, a penny more buys twice as much.
That's the idea exactly. For instance, our 100-tablet bottle of Rexall Pure Test Aspirin ordinarily sells for 49 cents, but during the 1 cent sale, you can get two bottles for only 50 cents.
No wonder my neighbors are saying that's the time to stock up on drugstore needs.
Yes, indeed. And another reason it's such a good opportunity, ma'am, is because our 1 cent sale extends to almost 300 different items. They range from cough syrup to shaving cream, from vitamins to cosmetics. And when you buy all those necessaries at two for the price of one, plus a penny, you're taking a big whack at your cost of living.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I'm certainly going to remember those days next week.
And remember this too, ma'am, because it's the most important of all. These are Rexall products, and you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
Good health to all from Rexall.
Folks, this is Phil again. Down in Galveston, Texas, this weekend, they're doing something of which the whole nation can be very proud. The Greater Galveston Beach Association is holding a 4-day welcome honoring General Jimmy Doolittle and his Tokyo Raiders. So congratulations to you, Jimmy, and to all your brave guys. We know you'll love that Texas hospitality, and have a wonderful time. And our thanks to Galveston for again showing our country's gratitude to you and your boys for a deed that will never be forgotten. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Your pennies will save dollars next Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at Rexall's famous 1 cent sale. Nearly 300 fine quality guaranteed Rexall products, two for the price of one plus 1 cent. Remember, next Wednesday through Saturday, Rexall's 1 cent sale, wherever you see the orange and blue Rexall sign on the window. This is Bill Foreman saying good luck to all.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Hello again, this is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of the Jack Benny Show from the 1938-1939 season. In this episode, and last week, we had a rivalry going on between Jack and Phil. Phil, of course, in one of his first movies, and Phil getting a little headstrong about being in the movie. We get a chance to have pompous Phil and his tweaking of his character for these few episodes is a lot of fun. So I hope you're going to enjoy a little different Phil than we usually get, but a very fun Phil and a great episode. So enjoy, and we'll see you next time.
J-E-L-L.
The Jell-O program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Kenny Baker, and yours truly, Don Wilson. The orchestra opens a program with Just One of Those Things. I think that childhood memories are among the most pleasant things in life, and here's somebody who agrees with me. Mrs. Mary Kennedy of Akron, Ohio writes, "One of my first memories as a very small girl in the country is my mother making Jell-O and lowering it into the well to set. It was a delightful addition to our hearty country fair and was welcomed alike by youngsters and brawny loggers. The years passed and I became a hostess in my own city home. Everything has changed, but not the quality and value of Jell-O, which is still the same fine treat. To me, nothing else can equal it, a dessert everybody likes. Therefore, I remain a Jell-O fan." Well, that's a grand letter, Mrs. Kennedy. Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen,
That letter helps to explain why we ask you always to insist on genuine Jell-O when you buy. Well, that name is a trademark. It's the property of General Foods, and it tells you here's the real thing. Here is America's favorite gelatin dessert, the one and only Jell-O. So look for those big red letters on the box. They spell Jell-O. Just one of those things played by the orchestra. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we bring you our sun-kissed master of ceremonies who has just returned from a week's vacation in Palm Springs.
Yes, sir. Tell him how I look, Don.
Ah, he's the picture of health, folks. Brown as a berry with a magnificent coat of tan.
You know, I never freckle.
Here he is, ladies and gentlemen, that perfect specimen, that bronze Adonis, Jack Benny.
Hello again. This is Jack Benny coming to you, sunny side up. And you know, Don, that week on the desert did me a world of good. I never felt better in my life. Don't you think I look 10 years younger?
Well, Jack...
5 years?
Well, I...
3?
Well, to tell you the truth, Jack...
All right, Don, let's put it this way. I don't look any older.
No, you don't, Jack.
Thanks. Every time I fish for a compliment, I come up with a rubber boot. Now, Don, you know this tan on my face is very becoming.
Oh, yes, you have a nice color, Jack. But what are those round white spots just above your eyebrows?
Oh, those white spots? Oh, that's Rochester's fault. He's so careless.
Why? What happened?
Well, you see, I was taking a sun bath, and I gave Rochester $0.50 to go out and buy me a cigar.
Yes?
Well, when he came back, I was asleep, so he laid the change on my forehead. That accounts for the polka dots. Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello, Jack. Say, where have you been?
Oh, I took a little trip. Do you notice anything different?
Yeah, you look 10 years younger.
You see, Don?
Than George Arliss.
Well, you can kid about it, but I feel swell. Take it from me, Don, for a real healthy vacation, there's nothing like a week in Palm Springs.
You're right, Jack. It's simply wonderful, and the hotels there are so swanky.
Oh, they're the last word.
They certainly are. Which one did you stop at?
Well, I didn't exactly stay in a hotel. You see, Don, I wanted to sort of rough it, you know, get close to nature. You know, be right out on the desert.
Where'd you live, in a gopher hole?
No, I didn't live in a gopher hole.
Don't tell me you went to that same dump you stopped at last time.
Dump? Mary, if you can call the Bellevue Auto Court a dump, then I give up. In the first place, they cater to a very exclusive clientele. They don't take in everybody.
Not much. They got a bear trap in front of the joint.
Don't listen to her, Don. It's really one of the nicest auto camps west of the Mississippi. There's such a quaint charm about it. Oh, it's a lovely spot.
And it's right in Palm Springs, huh?
Well, it's not right in Palm Springs. Is it, Mary?
No, it's closer to Boyle Heights.
It is not. Don, you must have passed the Bellevue lots of times. Look, you know how you take Highway 99 and you go through Beaumont and Banning?
Yes.
Well, when you leave Banning, you turn off on that side road where the barbecue stand is. You know, the one that has that little red-headed cashier.
You mean Babette?
Yes, yes. She's, Well, anyway, you turn off on that road. And on the left-hand side is the Bellevue Auto Court. Oh, you can't miss it.
Oh, I know. It's the place right next to the goat farm.
That's it. That's the place. That's it. When there's a west wind, you get a dollar off your rent. I only had one lucky night. And listen, Don, Mary can laugh, but if you're ever out that way and you want to live in a nice, homey atmosphere, you stop at the Bellevue. The beds are marvelous.
But, Jack, isn't it a little too far from Palm Springs?
Why, no, Don. It's only a 10-minute walk.
Go on, it's 15 minutes to the bathroom.
Not if you know the shortcut. Uh, You stop there, Don. You'll really thank me for it.
I'll remember that, Jack.
And mention my name. It'll help us both, you know. Oh, and by the way, they have a lunchroom there, and here's a little tip for you, Don. If you go in there to eat, don't order the number 4 breakfast.
Why not?
Because it's a dime more than the number 3, and the only difference is they trim the toast. I found that out the first day.
Tell him about the waffles they serve, Jack.
Oh, well, that's just a novelty.
Well, what about the waffles, Mary?
They got numbers on them so you can play bingo till your eggs come.
Listen, Mary, it's those little touches that make the Bellevue unique among auto courts. It's a swell little place.
Go on, you'd never stop there if they didn't have B on the towel.
Oh, yeah? Well, if you're information smarty, the towel at the Bellevue was on a roller. So don't make up things. Oh, hello, Kenny.
Hiya, Jack. Gee, look at you. Where have you been?
Oh, I've been out in the desert, Kenny. I got a pretty swell tan, haven't I?
Yeah, you look like a healthy prune.
A healthy prune? Oh, well, you perhaps meant that for a compliment.
Could be.
Well, anyway, Kenny, that's what a week in Palm Springs will do for you. Have you ever been there?
Oh, sure. I was there last year with my mother and father. But you know, Jack, I didn't get to see much of Palm Springs.
Why not?
I bought a cowboy hat that was too big for me.
Well, you should have peeked out once in a while. It's a lovely town. Isn't it, Ginge? Huh?
Say, Jack, what? I just have to think of something. What? How could you go to Palm Springs when you and Phil are right in the middle of your new picture?
Well, you see, Don, they stopped production on my picture for a week, and Mr. Hornblow, the producer, suggested I go away for a rest.
Oh, I see. By the way, how is Phil as an actor? Has he improved any?
Don, I don't like to be catty, but he's got about as much acting ability as an unrehearsed sweepstake winner in a newsreel. And what a ham.
Conceited, huh?
Conceited. Some silly girl told him he had a profile like a Greek god. And the next day he came to work with an olive branch in his hair. And sandals yet.
No kidding.
Not only that, he had a pedicure. What a guy.
Well, Phil hasn't got much to do with the picture, has he?
No, Don. Fortunately, he has a very small role. You see, Dorothy L'Amour thinks she's in love with Phil, and Phil thinks so, too. So not realizing her dreadful mistake, Dorothy marries Phil. You see?
Yes, but where do you come in?
Jack's the stork.
I am... I'm Milford, the boy that's always waiting for her. And, Don, I think this picture will really bring out the new Benny.
Gosh, I hope so.
Don't worry, it will. Now, how about singing, Kenny, while I'm in a romantic mood?
Huh? Okay, Jack.
Now, hold it a minute. Come in.
Mr. Benny?
Yes?
Do you really think Dorothy L'Amour is beautiful?
Yes, I do. Why?
You ought to see me in a sarong. Goodbye.
Well, there's a beachcomber if I ever saw one. Sing.
Can wait. This is paradise, just being here with you and breathing the air you do. Heaven can wait. Darling, it's true. This is paradise, gazing at all your charms. It's heaven in your arms. Heaven can wait. You must be an angel on a visit from the skies. Now I look at heaven when I look into your eyes. Heaven can wait. This is paradise, loving the way we do. Until I go there with you, heaven can wait. must be an angel, for your kisses are divine. Darling, you're so wonderful, how can I ever call you mine? You must be an angel on a visit from the skies. Now I look at heaven when I look into your eyes. Heaven can wait. This is paradise, just being here with you and breathing the air you do. Heaven can wait. Darling, it's true. This is paradise, loving the way we do. Until I go there with you, heaven can wait.
That was Heaven Can Wait, sung by Kenny Baker, who, in my humble opinion, is one of our finest young tenors. You know, Kenny, I oughtn't to tell you this, but people all over America are crazy about your voice.
They're nuts about it in Brazil, too. Brazil nuts! Oh, boy, that's a Lulu!
Brazil nuts. Kenny, where did you ever get that awful joke?
Phil Harris sold it to me for $10.
What? $10 for that gag?
I didn't know eggs were so high.
Me neither. Of all the nerve. Listen, Kenny, Phil Harris has no business selling you jokes. He knows nothing about comedy.
Oh, no? Anybody that can write Pygmalion is good enough for me.
Oh, so Phil told you he wrote Pygmalion, eh?
Yeah, but he told me to keep it quiet or he'd punch me in the nose.
Well, naturally, he's modest. However, for your information, Kenny, Pygmalion was written by George Bernard Shaw, a very famous Irish playwright.
Take it easy, brother. I wasn't born yesterday.
I doubt that. Phil Harris, an author. Harris is nothing but a bathed hillbilly. Why, he can't write his own name without tracing it through a stencil.
Now, wait a minute, Jack. Phil may be a little crude, but he's got a lot of good ideas.
What do you mean, good ideas?
Well, for instance, here's a little thing he whipped up for me. Now, listen.
Hmm.
Boys and girls, if you're on the loose right now, why don't you swing on down to that neighborhood grocer and get yourself some of that Jell-O? It's right in the groove.
That's Phil, all right.
It comes in 6 goody flavors and really hits the spot when it's nestled among them sliced Skitters.
Skitters? What's that?
Bananas.
Oh, oh.
So buy it, palsies, because it's economical, appetizing, and delicia-roo.
Delicia-roo?
Yeah, man.
Delicia-roo. Mary, did you ever hear anything like that?
I thought it was right on the beam.
Now, wait a minute. I'm not going to have all of you talking like that illiterate maestro, the Maharaja of corn. I'll take care of him when he gets here. And furthermore, Kenny, don't worry. I'll get that $10 back that you gave to Phil.
Well, either way, I'm hooked.
Don't be so cynical, Kenneth. And now, folks, if I may be permitted to pick up the loose ends of our program, I would like to announce that for our feature attraction tonight, the Benny Punchy Punchinellos will present their version of the...
Hey, Jack, look.
Oh, yes, our movie star has arrived.
Hello, soaks. I mean, folks, this is Smiling Phil Harris, the old lady killer himself.
Old lady killer is right. Come here a minute, Phil. I want to talk to you.
What's on your mind, my little dictator?
Listen, Phil, Kenny Baker just told me that you sold him a joke and charged him $10 for it. Is that right?
Sure, but I marked it down from 25.
I don't care if it's a fire sale. You're here to lead an orchestra, and there'll be no sidelines on this program.
No sidelines, eh?
No.
You're a fine one to squawk. I've been buying my handkerchiefs from you ever since I came to work here.
Well, they were satisfactory, weren't they?
Yeah.
Then shut up. Those handkerchiefs are of the finest quality.
I bought one of them and blew a hole right through it.
Well, they're not nosies. They're for the pocket. Anyway, I'm only selling them for an aunt of mine who weaves.
Your uncle weaves, too.
That's different. And now, folks, getting back to our play.
Say, Jack, if you'll stop being mad at me for a second, I'd like to tell you that you're looking swell. That's a marvelous coat of tan you've got.
Well, thanks. I got it in Palm Springs last week. By the way, where did you go?
Where did I go? I've been working like a dog.
Where?
At Paramount on our picture.
What? You've been working on the picture?
There goes your tan, Jack.
Why, Mr. Hornblow told me to go away for a rest. He said they were holding up production.
Holding up nothing. This week they shot all my important love scenes.
Oh-ho, I see.
Oh-ho, so do I.
Keep still. Mary, get me Paramount on the phone. I want to speak to Mr. Hornblow.
Okay.
Listen, Phil, if you think you're going to hog this picture, you have another thing coming.
Well, don't blame me. It's not my fault.
Not much, the way you're always trying to build up your part.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. Hello, Paramount? Mr. Hornblow, please.
You know what I'm talking about. You take that scene in the drawing room that you did with Vinnie Barnes. All you were supposed to say was no. Just one word, no. And instead of that, you said, no, no. No, I tell you. 1,000 times no.
Well, what's wrong with that?
What's wrong? You were only turning down a cup of tea. Lucky she didn't offer you a piece of pie. You'd have killed yourself. Some actor.
Hello, Mr. Hornblow. Gee, you're gonna get it.
Mary, give me that phone. Hello, Mr. Hornblow. This is Jack Benny. Yes, yes, I got back today. I had a lovely time. Yes, I got tanned like anything. Now, look, Mr. Hornblow, there's just one thing I want to know. What's the big idea of shooting my picture behind my back? I know, but listen, Mr. Hornblow...
Take it easy, Jack. You worked at every other studio.
I have not. Republic is virgin territory. Now, look, Mr. Hornblow. Look, I'm the... I know. I know it's going to be a good picture. That's why I want to be in it. Yes, but if... But if... I know, but...
Try if again.
Quiet. Mr. Hornblow, are you going to be in your office for a while? Good, I'll be right over. Goodbye. Listen, fellas, you'll have to do our play without me. I got to rush right over to Paramount Studio.
Can I go with you?
Yes, come on. Rochester's got the car downstairs.
Boy, Jack's certainly burned up, isn't he?
Yeah, but Mr. Hornblow will cool him off.
Hey, Phil, you got any more of those jokes you want to sell me?
Sure, come here, kid. Here's a honey. Now, the next time Jack asks you what you're going to sing, you say you're going to sing a little ditty entitled, I Call My Dog Ginger Because He Always Snaps At Me.
Ginger snaps, that's a good one.
That'll be $2, Kenny.
Here you are.
Thanks. Play, boys.
Thank you.
Rochester, I'm in a hurry to get to Paramount, and I'll never get there at the rate we're going. Will you please step on the gas? We're barely crawling.
Can't help it, boss. You either got to get a new car or hoist a sail.
That won't be necessary. I'm going to have the motor overhauled.
That ain't going to help any. What this car needs is glands.
Well, if you took care of it like you should, everything would be all right.
Oh, Jack, stop picking on Rochester. He's doing the best he can with his jalopy.
Mary, if you call his car a jalopy once more, you can get right out and walk.
All right, unstrap me.
Just stay where you are and don't be so fresh. What's the matter, Rochester?
The red light's against us.
Well, you don't have to shut off the engine to stop.
I do until you get brakes.
Oh. Well, it's green. Now get going.
Okay, boss.
Strike one.
Hurry up, Rochester. Come on. Oh, darn it. Oh, quiet, you Sunday drivers. All right, we're going. Hurry up, Rocket.
I'm trying, boss.
She's embarrassing. Well, thank heaven.
Gee whiz, Jack, why don't you trade this car in?
Why should I? This car's all right. Besides, it's so easy on the gas. Gee, I get 27 miles to the gallon.
27 miles?
With a little water, 32.
Now, Rochester, don't exaggerate. And watch where you're going. I want to get to Paramount before Mr. Hornblow leaves his office.
What's the matter, boss? Are you in a doghouse again?
I hardly think that's any of your business, Rochester. Say, Mary, look at that sign. Joe Lewis and Jack Roper, Wrigley Field. Boy, that's going to be some fight tomorrow night.
Are you going, Jack?
I certainly am.
Say, boss, who do you think's going to win that fight?
Well, personally, I'd like to put a little bet on Roper.
Pennies from heaven.
I can appreciate your loyalty, Rochester, but Jack Roper is a pretty tough guy. He's got a vicious right and a terrific left. What a pair of arms.
Well, Lewis ain't exactly a Venus de Milo.
Oh, so you're pretty positive he'll win, eh? Well, how long do you think the fight will last?
Well, boss, the main event goes on at 10 o'clock sharp, don't it?
That's right.
Well, at 10:15, Brother Lewis is scheduled to make a speech at our social club.
Oh, he is?
And in full dress.
Now, don't get too enthusiastic, Rochester. Nobody's going to knock out Roper that fast.
Man, you know what's going to happen tomorrow night.
What?
When the bell rings for the first round, Lewis and Roper are going to meet in the center of the ring.
Yes.
Then Roper's going to swing.
Uh-huh.
Then Lewis is going to swing.
Uh-huh.
That's all. Party's over.
Well, let me tell you something, Rochester. If you're so sure that Lewis is going to win, I'd just like to bet you $10 that you're wrong.
Nothing doing, boss. You still owe me $5 from the Dempsey Purple fight.
Oh, so you're trying to back out, eh? You know darn well Roper's going to win that fight, and you're afraid to bet.
What are you talking about, boss?
I'm talking about Roper winning that fight tomorrow night.
Why, man, I told you what's going to happen. Lewis is going to take his right hand like this. He's going to swing it right from the ground. Zowie!
Now, look what you did. You broke the windshield.
I'm sorry, boss. I got excited.
Excited.
Well, it's your own fault, Jack. You shouldn't argue with him when he's driving the car.
I wasn't arguing.
You were sure. You told him Roper was sure to win.
Well, he is. I don't think Lewis has got a chance against him.
Why, boss, Joe Lewis is going to give that Roper a right and a left, a right and a left.
Rochester, keep your hands on the wheel.
A right and a left.
Rochester!
Look out. We're going to hit this drive instead. Isn't this awful?
Good evening, folks. What do you have?
We don't want anything, miss. Are you all right, Mary? Mary, where are you?
Here I am, up at the counter. I'm hungry.
Gee, look at this car.
My, what a mess.
Well, you're responsible for the whole thing. Look, the front fenders are knocked off, the headlights are slashed, and we got 3 flat tires.
It's unanimous now.
Well, get to work and fix it. I'm going to walk over to Paramount. It's only 2 blocks from here.
Okay, boss. So long.
So long. Come on with me, Mary. You can eat later.
I'm coming.
Man, this car sure is a wreck. Well, if I gotta fix it, I gotta. I haste to see that evening sun go down to the duty. I haste to see that evening sun go down. Oh, lady, lady.
What do you want?
Would you mind bringing me a couple of pork chops to break the monotony?
Two pork chops coming up.
And don't forget the gravy with mashed potatoes all around.
A friend of mine paid me a real compliment the other day. She said, "You know, Don, when you describe those Jell-O desserts over the radio, you just make me hungry for them." Well, naturally, I was pleased. And tonight, I have another new Jell-O dessert I know will make a hit with everybody. A combination of raspberry Jell-O and cottage cheese. And I'm telling you, it's swell. And easy to make, too. Dissolve one package of raspberry Jell-O in one pint of hot water and turn into a ring mold and chill until firm. Then unmold it and fill the center with cottage cheese. Serve it with toasted crackers, and there is a triumph in desserts. Clear, shimmering raspberry Jell-O with its extra-rich flavor and creamy cottage cheese, smooth and tempting. So try it. Ask your grocer tomorrow for raspberry Jell-O.
Number of the 29th program. We're with you again next Sunday night at the same time. Come on, Mary, walk a little faster. I don't want to keep Mr. Hornblow waiting.
Well, how do you know he's going to be there?
He'll be there all right. You know, I'm no small fry at Paramount. I have an appointment with him, and he'll keep it. Now, hurry up.
Okay. Say, Jack, who's that fellow in that big car that just passed?
Where?
Right there.
Oh. Hey, Mr. Hornblow! Mr. Hornblow, wait a minute. We have an appointment. Hey, Mr. Hornblow!
Good night, folks.
Mr. Hornblow!
J-E-L-L-O.
Kenny Baker appears on the Jell-O program to courtesy of Mervyn LeRoy Productions.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.